In Revelation 3:19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Or he may be trying to perfect you by letting you know that the Bible says no matter what you're going through in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. But the bottom line is how you react to your famine experience determines whether it becomes a time of blessing in your life or a time of devastation. But not only was it a time of desperate circumstances, but it was also, Brother Jackson, a time of dangerous choices. But we note in verse 1b and 2, it reveals that Elimelech did not respond correctly to what the Lord was doing in his life. Notice three mistakes he and his family made during his famine experience. First of all, he chose to leave the promised land. But verse 1 tells us that this man made a conscious decision to leave Bethlehem of Judah for the country of Moab. Now the name Bethlehem means house of bread, and Judah means praise. But at this time, neither of those places were living up to their names, because there was no bread in the house of bread, and there was no reason for rejoicing and praise. But now, while the geographic location failed to live up to their names, I need to tell you, so did Elimelech, because his name means God is King. And so if that had been true about this man, he would have known that God's valleys do not last forever, and that God would take care of his people. Even more, according to Ruth 2:1, Elimelech had a close relative by the name of Boaz, who stayed in Bethlehem and seemed to do quite well in spite of the famine. Yet Elimelech chose to leave his inheritance in the promised land and head off to a land where God would not bless him. And oh, but just think of the countless times this scene is repeated in the family of God. Because many times when a famine comes into one's life, they run out on God. Maybe things didn't go their way at church. Maybe a trial arose in their lives that they were blindsided by it. Or maybe they just came to love the world more than they loved the Lord. But whatever the reason, they chose to walk out on the promised land of God's blessings and head off into the world and try to live on their own terms. My brothers and sisters, there is a word for that kind of behavior, and it's called backsliding.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for the privilege now of studying your word. Lord, you knew who would be here today. You knew who would hear this word today. So as you prepare to meet us, we pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost to unfold your truth, meeting us in the place that we are and lifting us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for just being God? We're talking today about learning how to trust God in your struggles. Now, I know you may not be going through anything right now, but I want to let you know, if you keep on living, you're going to pass that way. And it's just good to learn some practical principles that you are able to practice so that you will have the kind of understanding God wants you to. Because struggles, really, if we do them the way God wants us to do them, actually strengthens us. I like to think of it in terms of strength training. And the only way you really know you've grown, the only way you've really known that you've matured, the only way that you really know you've come from one place or one good degree to the next is through struggles. And so they are given and allowed and applied to every believer's life based on where they are and what they are going through, what they're dealing with, and where God knows that they are able to handle and deal with and then move to another level. Everything about your struggle that God permits is designed for you to be successful. And don't think that you get to be successful without some struggles. So again, it's seeing and viewing things right, but we also want to know it again according to the Word of God. And so we're going to start Psalm 46, 1 and 2. Very familiar a few verses of Scripture, and we're going to drop down to that 10th verse as well. But 46 and 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help when in trouble. That's why we're talking about, you know, learning to trust God in your struggles, because he is a very present help in, the operative word here is in trouble. All right. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The 10th verse of that 46 number of Psalms says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, when we look at these three verses before us, brothers and sisters, the whole point of us understanding again, because one of the things you're going to note, and that is, that no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how long you've been in this life, you're going to find out that there is a cycle of struggles on every level. And what's strange about it is, and I want you to get this as well, is that so many of the struggles reach you in the same area. Now, there is obviously a lesson to be learned if the struggles keep coming in the same area. There's obviously something you're missing, there's something you're not getting, or there's something yet that has not yet promoted you to another level. Now, understanding this, it's important for you to recognize, because if you've been in the same storm too long, if you've been dealing with the same issues too long, if the same stuff just keeps cycling back in your life, then there are obviously some things that you need to get that you are not getting that God wants you to. But again, remember the scripture, God is our refuge. Now, if he is our refuge, that means he provides the place of safety for us. God is that place of safety for us. God is that shelter for us. He is the place that when there is a threat that we run to him, he's our covering, he's our shelter, he's our protector, he is our refuge. Don't get it twisted. Nothing and nobody else can take the place of God as your refuge. But look at what the word says, because while you're in this place of shelter, the record is AND, connective conjunction, and strength. See, one of the things that you must recognize is if the place that you are hiding in, taking cover in, doesn't strengthen you, it further depletes you. Listen at this well now, because the places that we have, you know, when hurricanes come and in different parts of the country, when there are tornadoes and other plagues of different sorts, there are different shelters, there are different refuges, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole point of it is to strengthen you while you're in that place of covering or protection, so much so that while you are there, you're already putting the pieces together.
All right, all right.
You're already thinking about how you're going to relive life, put life back together. You get the strength and the sustenance necessary while you're in that place of refuge, because when you go back out to the world, it's nothing but work. It's nothing but, you know, reforming and re-putting together, replacing, restoring that situation has destroyed. So in order to begin to meet all of those challenges, you got to first get you together. And God strengthens you when you rest in Him as your refuge. Notice what he goes on to say, a very present help in trouble. Don't let the devil hoodwink you. If trouble is there, guess who else is there? God is there. A very present help in trouble. Trouble don't scare God. As a matter of fact, God is there to make sure he referees trouble right. That trouble don't get more abundantly and more difficult than it is able or capable of. God has promised he won't allow more to be put on you than you can bear. So if you ever get to the point where you're just like feeling like you're overwhelmed, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle this, I can't take another step, God is right there making sure that the measure is not more than you are able to deal with. So don't let the devil fool you. If God permits you to go through it, you can go through it. If God permits you to deal with it, you can deal with it. If God allows this to happen, it's for your better good, and in the end, you win. God is strengthening you so that you will know he is a very present. You ain't got to scream out and cry, oh, Lord, where are you? I'm right here. A very present help. Where? In trouble. If you in trouble, God is in trouble with you. The difference is in the position, though. The difference is in the condition, though. And God is in a different position and condition in trouble than you are in. But you need to know he's right there with you. That's why Jesus got upset when they got up. They woke him up on the seashore, and he was resting good, Doc. And they came and, what carest thou not that we perish? Man, I'm sleeping. I'm taking a nap because ain't no trouble, ain't no danger in these. You are being hoodwinked by the enemy. If Jesus is at peace in your ship that's on a stormy lake, then what you need to know is you need to stop watching the stuff that's going on around you. Take you a nap too. Rest yourself too. Because the problem with us looking at stuff many times, and which is one of the good reasons why we ought not walk by sight, is because we see too much. We see too much. You get scared by the stuff you see. And so the enemy brings things upon us and causes us to see things that we in the natural cannot deal with or handle or solve like God can. And that produces fear in us. But the record is clear. He's a very present help in trouble. Look at what the word then goes on to say in verse 2. Therefore, because he's a very present help. Therefore, because he's my strength. Therefore, because he's my refuge. Verse 2 says, therefore will not we fear. What are you going to fear if God is your refuge, God is your strength, and God, listen at this, is a very present help? But what's the purpose of having help in time of trouble if the help can't help you through your trouble? Can't help you with the stuff you can't handle. You ain't helping me if you are not doing what I can't do and you call yourself a helper. He knows his place in trouble, and it's to help you make it through your troubles. Now look again, verse 10 says now, which we'll skip on to, says, be still. Listen. And know, not think, not feel, not hope, not even pray, but know that I am God. Now listen to this. If you be still, and listen, you can't be still unless you're secure, comfortable, and at peace. Listen, people who are not at peace can't keep still. There's something underneath the skin that won't allow them to be still. You got to have, listen, the assurance that God is in that trouble with you, that God is the strength that you need in that trouble. And then listen at this, they can't get to you till they get to him. He's the strong man in the house. And before they can do anything to you, they got to bind him. But how can they bind him when he's everything? He's your all. Your enemy don't even have, listen, your enemy is hoping that you don't know God is there, because if you don't know that he's not there, then you won't call upon him, or you won't look to him for his strength. You'll try and do it in your own strength. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. And that's how we mess up, because we don't realize we've got to be still at points and times when we can't do anything about it anyhow. But listen at this. To be still transfers your issues onto God.
Amen.
To be still says, God, I can't do nothing about it, no how. So I'm casting my burdens on you, and you care for me, so I'm going to just rest in you till you fix it for me. And you be still, not trying to figure it out, not trying to work it out, not trying to do what your natural mind and ability tells you you can do, which is still far less than conquering your enemy. The Bible says when you are still in this reference and know that he is God. Well, if he's God, then he's God and Lord over every situation that confronts you, because he's Lord and he's God over you. And so noting that, look at what he says in the word continually. I will be exalted.
Amen.
Among the heathen. Now, when you know that he's God, and your enemies think that they are triumphing over you, or your situations, or your problem, or your condition, or the situation that you're dealing with happens to feel like it has power, and it has prestige, and it has preeminence over you, what God says is, you be still.
Yeah. Come on.
They don't see me right now. You be still. And listen to this. They think that you are lying prey. Just ready to pounce upon. But what they don't understand is, I got you. And so look at what he says. Literally, you be still, because you ain't fighting this battle. When God steps up, he says, I will be exalted.
Amen.
Among the heathen. So the heathen then will see the greater one, not you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like seeing you and then seeing the shadow, and then looking at the shadow, and then looking at the God who is exalted. Listen. Above the heathen means above every heathen power, strength, situation.
Amen.
Everything that the heathen does to try and overcome you, God is going to be exalted over it. In other words, it's going to play out in the end again where you win and the enemy is defeated.
Yes.
Why is this so clear for us and should be clear for us? Because when he says in Isaiah, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Listen, all of this is going to have its place in you recognizing that he is God. Know that I am God. He's God over your finances. He's God over your family. I'm talking about to the believers now. He's God over your body. He's God over your mind. He's God over everything that is and that is to come and that is to be. So if he's God over all of that, then what can God over him? What can overpower him? What is greater than him? And so when you know that, listen, man, you stop letting this stuff depress you and oppress you and take you out and take you down and keep you down. You start to recognize, wait a minute, I know he's God. I know that he's God. And if you know that he's God, then you know if he be for you. Now that's where you really get the who that can be against you. What's his name? What team is he on? Who that can be against you if God is for you? And so when you begin to realize that, the Bible says, and he says, look, I will be exalted in the earth. I will not just be exalted among the heathen. but I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. See, in other words, what I want you to see is what he's saying happens in the spiritual realm or in the supernatural realm makes its way to the natural realm. What happens in the spirit realm finds its place in the natural or earthly realm. And that's why you've got to know for yourself, man, what God is doing in the spirit, he's going to do it in the flesh. When God gives you a glimpse supernaturally of things that are yet to come, he is, listen, doing his part in the supernatural, but he's getting you prepared for what's going to matriculate into the natural. And so that's why I love how God ministers to his people, moves and meets the needs of his people, and then he gives them just glimpses, previews of things to come. And some are coming soon. And some will be here this summer. And some will be at the end of this year. And some is not yet marked in terms of the date, but you know it's coming. So there is an expectation that God puts in you to build you up, to encourage you, to get you with an expectant heart so you bring that thing into the natural sooner because you're waiting on God to deliver it. Well, let me ask you a question. Now, I may seem foolish, but I'm so very serious. How many of you expect, when you've not placed an order for a UPS or a FedEx truck to drive up to your door and deliver you something? You've not placed an order. You just expect them to do that. No, that would be foolish. There's a thin line between faith and foolishness. But if you've ordered something and they have told you that it's coming through FedEx or UPS, etc., from that point on, and then listen, usually within a day or two, they will email you back a tracking number. So that if it don't show up when it's supposed to show up, you just go back online, key in your number, and they will give you the historicity of when that package left, where it stopped off at, and where it should be if it ain't at your door. And so what you've got to understand is there is no expectation in your heart if you're not making, again, your request known unto the Lord. And God is saying, this is yours, that I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to deliver this to you. And it is at that point in time that expectation begins to live in you, and you begin to look with an expectant heart for God to do what God said he'll do. And that part matriculates into the natural realm. He will be exalted in the earth. So don't think it stays in the spirit realm. Don't think that that's the only place that God operates at, because when you look at this and understand this the way God wants you to, you'll discover some things. Now, I want to share this with you. I hope you brought your pen and paper. I want to share with us again the purpose of this study today. First, it is to educate you, to teach or refine, to be discriminative in taste or judgment. Second, this study is designed to edify you, to make understandable, enlightened. But thirdly, this study is designed to equip you, to provide you with something usually for a specific purpose. Now, that's the threefold purpose of this study today, because here again, if you look at your life and you see a vicious cycle steadily going, and there may be a break, but then it comes right back and it's steadily going, there are some things you need to check yourself about. Let's educate yourself about what God is saying in his word about these issues. And it is, again, maybe you know it, and that's where you've been taught already. But then it's not just enough. Maybe we now, after teaching you this, need to refine that teaching. In other words, develop that teaching to another level so that you'll have the understanding underneath your skin to make the right choices so that you can work your way out of that issue that is plaguing you now, that struggle that you're going through, and you will more and more learn how to trust God in that struggle. And then as you are educated, you can't help but be edified. Amen. And that's where, again, this is made understandable. This is an enlightenment above the understanding and the knowledge that you've had before. And so if it edifies you, it begins to remove that fear away from you. And as it does that, you begin to recognize that God is faithful in how he operates and what he does. And when you know that God operates according to that same word and moves and minister against that then that gives us a whole nother level of comfort that we are edified in and are able to be strengthened in. Give me a black screen right quick. And then thirdly, again, it is to equip you. I mean, what's the whole purpose of being edified and educated if you're not equipped?
That's right. Yeah.
See, the whole purpose is God wants to take this out of the written word and make it a living word on the inside of you. And when the people of God can understand the word of God, when David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might," there was a purpose for it, "not sin against thee." Well, in that case and in that sense, it was important to recognize that God was trying to do some things in David's life to bring him, because his issue at this point was sin issue. Sin being a separation from God. Yeah. Separation from God being no fellowship, no strength, no power, not the ability to rule as God wanted him to rule and to have the things that God wanted him to have. And so his issue was understanding the word and keeping it with him so that it would be portable. And so if it were portable, it meant then that that word lived with him, went with him. Wherever he showed up, the word was there. You know, the problem with a whole lot of us is we leave our word in the word. And the problem is if the enemy catches you without your word, then you don't have nothing to refer to, go back to, learn how to deal with, because the problem happens that you don't have the word on the inside of you. That's why then the choices we make, the decisions we make, born out of fear, usually causes us to miss where God is trying to take us to. And so there are some things I think, again, that would be helpful in us understanding that God wants us to be equipped to be able to deal with trusting him in the midst of our struggles. Let me ask you this question. The last struggle that you went through, the last issue that you dealt with, did you deal with it in such a way that you got the peace and the success and the victory out of that struggle because you knew what to do from the word of God based in your heart, not just the written word on pages, and came out of that victorious? I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to think about this, because here's the problem. It is, once we have been in a vicious cycle over and over again, something starts happening to us. We become numb. We become desensitized. We then, listen at this, become privy to knowing what can happen, but we become complacent in allowing what has happened to keep on because you don't feel that it can change now. Now becomes the operative word, but it's a problem because you know you're going to get out of it one day, but why can't that one day be today? Why do I have to continue on and cycle through all of it when God has already promised me? Listen, if he is my refuge, I don't have to wait till the storm is over to try and go. Listen, when you really know and you get advance warning, it's so that you can get in the place before it hits and ride it through while it's hidden. And the only time it makes sense to come out of a place of refuge is when the storm has passed over. But if some of us get caught in the storm, here's what God says. I'm a very present help. He will come out in the midst of the storm of where you are, the cycle of the vicious issues that you're dealing with, and get you right while you're in it. Listen at this. He can let it keep going on and just pull you out of it. Somebody ain't getting this today. Some of you got a vicious financial cycle. You know you're going to get out of it one day, but you look at your bills and you look at your pay and you look at your situation and you say, my God, I know it can't be today. Well, why can't it be today if God is your refuge? If God is your strength? If God is the one who's going to do what only he is able to do? Well, why can't that happen? But here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to realize that before God steps in, you've got a part to play. And the part that you have to play is participatory. God wants you to rest in him. When it goes to that part, verse 10, be still It doesn't mean that you are relieved of your responsibilities. But what it does say is that you're now ready to invite God in so that God can do what God is.